Praise the Lord, a message number 198. The title of the message, Watchman Part 20. The watchman is a good minister who can see God's provision and protection and know how to minister in times of scarcity. Let's open our Bible to the book of 2 Kings and chapter 3, and let's read it from verse 1 to verse 27. Verse 1, Joram, son of Ahab, became king of Israel in Samaria in the 18th year of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah. And he reigned 12 years. He did evil in the eyes of the Lord, but not as his father and mother had done. He got rid of the sacred stone of Baal that his father had made. Nevertheless, he clung to the sins of Jeroboam, son of Nebat, which he had caused Israel to commit. He did not turn away from them. Now Misha, king of Moab, raised sheep, and he had to supply the king of Israel with 100,000 lambs and with the wool of 100,000 rams. But after Ahab died, the king of Moab rebelled against the king of Israel. So at that time, King Joram set out from Samaria and mobilized all Israel. He also sent this message to Jehoshaphat, king of Judah. The king of Moab has rebelled against me. Will you go with me to fight against Moab? I will go with you, he replied. I am as you are, my people as your people, my horses as your horses. By what route shall we attack, he asked, through the desert of Edom, he answered. So the king of Israel set out with the king of Judah and the king of Edom. After a roundabout march of 7 days, the army had no more water for themselves or for the animals with them. What, exclaimed the king of Israel, has the Lord called us three kings together only to hand us over to Moab? But Jehoshaphat asked, is there no prophet of the Lord here, that we may inquire of the Lord through him? And an officer of the king of Israel answered, Elisha, son of Shaphat, is here. He used to pour water on the hands of Elijah. Verse 12, Jehoshaphat said, the word of the Lord is with him. So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat and the king of Edom went down to him. Elisha said to the king of Israel, what do we have to do with each other? Go to the prophets of your father and the prophets of your mother. No, the king of Israel answered, because it was the Lord who called us three kings together to hand us over to Moab. Elisha said, as surely as the Lord Almighty lives, whom I serve, if I did not have respect for the presence of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, I would not look at you or even notice you. But now bring me a harpist. While the harpist was playing, the hand of the Lord came upon Elisha, and he said, this is what the Lord says. Make this valley full of ditches, for this is what the Lord says. You will see neither wind nor rain, yet this valley will be filled with water, and you, your cattle, and your other animals will drink. This is an easy thing in the eyes of the Lord. He will also hand Moab over to you. You will overthrow every fortified city and every major town. You will cut down every good tree, stop up all the springs, and ruin every good field with stones. The next morning, about the time for offering The sacrifice there, it was water flowing from the direction of Edom, and the land was filled with water. Now all the Moabites had heard that the kings had come to fight against them. So every man, young and old, who could bear arms, was called up and stationed on the border. When they got up early in the morning, the sun was shining on the water. To the Moabites across the way, the water looked red, like blood. "That's blood," they said. "Those kings must have fought and slaughtered each other. Now to the plunder, Moab." But when the Moabites came to the camp of Israel, the Israelites rose up and fought them until they fled. And the Israelites invaded the land and slaughtered the Moabites. They destroyed the towns, and each man threw a stone on every good field until it was covered. They stopped up all the springs and cut down every good tree. Only Kir Harisheth was left with its stones in place. But men armed with slings surrounded it and attacked it as well. When the king of Moab saw that the battle had gone against him, he took with him 700 swordsmen to break through to the king of Edom, but they failed. Then he took his firstborn, who was to succeed him as king, and offered him as a sacrifice on the city wall. The fury against Israel was great. They withdrew and returned to their own land. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for your goodness and your faithfulness. We come before in the name of Jesus, Lord. I do pray that the purpose of sending this message shall be accomplished in the life of your church and your people. I pray for clarity of the message. I pray you anoint my lips with words and statement to encourage your people to rise up, to serve you, and to commit once again their life unto you. We thank you, Lord. We bless you, Jesus. This all we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In the book of 2 Kings chapter 3 verse 13, Elijah said the following, "For this is what the Lord says, you will see neither wind nor rain, yet this valley will be filled with water, and you, your cattle, and your other animals will drink." Elijah was able to see that God will send water to the armies and to the kings who were lacking the water. And we will learn from this scripture, as a watchman and woman, how we can see God's provision, and we can see God's protection in time of scarcity, and how as watchmen and as watchwomen we need to be a good minister unto the Lord, to the people whom God call us to minister the word of God and the grace of God. As we read and as we know that the king of Israel was a wicked one, Joram, son of Ahab. And the king of Judah was accompanying him to go and fight the Moabite. Along with them, there were the king of Edom and the Edomites army. You know, we read in verse 15, and from what Elijah spoke to Joram, the king of Israel, we can discern that not only Joram was wicked, but also that God is not pleased with him. What Elisha told him, as surely as the Lord Almighty lives, whom I serve, if I did not have respect for the presence of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, I would not look at you or even notice you. God was angry, and Elisha also was angry because Joram was a wicked person. And for sure, the anger of Elijah was for God's glory. And also Elijah continued to minister to the king of Israel and to the rest of the king and to their armies as he was obedient to the Lord. Elijah was the prophet who has the word of God. King Jehoshaphat said, when they suggested that they will call Elijah, King Jehoshaphat said, the word of the Lord is with him. So Elijah spoke to them the word of God, that the Lord will save them from the current trouble that they are in, lack of water. And he also prophesied to them that the Lord will give them the upper hand and will enable them to win the battle against the army of the Moabites. In verse 17 to verse 19, as we have read, for this is what the Lord says, you will see neither wind nor rain, yet this valley will be filled with water, and you, your cattle, and your other animals will drink. This is an easy thing in the eyes of the Lord. He will also hand Moab over to you. You will overthrow every fortified city and every major town. You will cut down every good tree, stop up all the springs, and ruin every good field with stones. Elisha was able to see God's deliverance for these three armies and these three kings from the thirst, lack of water. He said that even there's no rain, you're not seeing water, but the Lord will fill this valley with water. Although you are not seeing wind, but God will fill it with water. Elijah, as a watchman, was able to see the provision of God for these three kings and his deliverance of them. He did it well and faithfully imparted to them these things that he was able to see. We know that God for sure was not happy with King Joram. And for sure God was not happy that King Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, was accompanying him with the army of Judah to go and to help the wicked king of Israel. But we know that God delivered them and God saved them from the lack of water, and he gave them also victory over the Moabites. You know, when I was reading that passage of 2 Kings chapter 3, you know, I was looking about life of Elisha. You know, he knows that Joram is wicked, and also he knows that God knows that he is wicked. But he was called to prophesy to them God's will. He rebuked them. He showed them God's anger, but he also ministered to them the grace of God. You know, many Christians, they live a sinful life like Joram, son of Ahab. And many Christians, like Jehoshaphat, they are not wise and are not good in their stewardship. They keep relationships and support evildoers and put hand and agree with a people like Joram, son of Ahab, and accept and support them and work with them. Also, you know, not only Jehoshaphat, he went along the king of Israel, the wicked king, but also with them they were the Edomites, those who are fun with the flesh and the sinful nature. God was not happy with these three kings and that combination, but God did provide and help them to get delivered, and he also saved them from thirst and from an army of the enemy. The question is, why God still help them in spite of their clear shortcoming? You know, and might be that was also what was in the mind of Elijah when he first met the king of Israel. He rebuked him, and might be also in your mind when you meet wicked people. You know very well they are wicked people and they are doing wicked things, but still when you open your mouth to speak, you find that the Holy Spirit controlling you and giving you a message that God will deliver and God will help and God will save and God will provide. Sometimes we cannot understand why God is doing like this, but Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5 verse 45, he said he causes his son to rise on the evil and the good. He sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. We cannot question God or interfere with his ways. Why God help here the king of Israel? He's a wicked king. You know, why God did not put him to death and put them to shame? That is up to God. God has wisdom. We cannot question God. We need to abide with his way. Maybe God is giving them another chance to repent. God waiting for them to come back spontaneously to him. God waiting from them to throw away their idols and to repent and go back to his own ways. But as watchmen and as watchwomen of God, we might be like Elijah, seeing and recognizing sinful Christians and compromising believers, yet we are called to minister to them in accord with the grace and the will and the decision of God for their life at that particular moment that God called us to minister. Such people as these three kings, they were together, might cause us grief. You might be called to minister to people who cause you grief by their sin and their sinful way of life. When you see people, writers like Joseph, out among people who are wicked Christians, sinful Christians, it might cause you grief. When you find that people delight in the flesh, it might cause you grief. It might cause you even pain and anger. And even you might get jealousy, especially when you see God is providing and prospering them. For a person like Elisha, who know very well the wickedness of Joram, he would expect that God would put him to death. And that's the opportunity. But he find that God is providing for him water and he is giving him victory once again over the Moabites. He may get jealous and you may get jealous and envious when you see the prosperity of the wicked. But we need to observe what God is doing and be patient like him. God is bringing certain people to repentance, and we need to control our anger. You need to control our anger, your anger as a watchman and a watchwoman. If the Holy Spirit ask to be patient, you be patient, because God is agreeing with you that these people are wicked, but God has another way of dealing with them, not your way. And we know that God's way is better than our ways. Be patient like God and keep your heart full of love in order that those people will come to repentance. As watchmen and women, this is the most difficult time when we minister. We minister to evildoers, and we fall them into troubles, and we expect that God will really squeeze them and will not relieve them until they repent. But here we find the Lord is relieving them without cornering them to bring them to repentance. God has His own way, and God wants us to see that way and dedicate our life to minister in that level of commitment. Certain time God wants us to declare the message of judgment and repentance, and sometimes God wants us to declare the message of deliverance and provision even in the absence of repentance. In the book of Matthew chapter 5 verse 43-48, you have here that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. He causes His Son to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your brothers, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your Heavenly Father is perfect. So here, Elijah was called to be perfected here in how dealing honestly and declaring the message that God is sending to those three kings in the midst of their trouble. Elijah here was a keen and faithful minister of the Lord. Even he is dealing with the most wicked king, and even he told them, if not for the sake of Jehoshaphat, I would not speak with you. But he delivered to him the message of deliverance of the Lord and the message of God's provision in his life. We need to be in that level of commitment and understanding that we need to work with the Lord, with His ways, and with His also timing, and also according to His method. One more things we learn from this message. We as watchmen and watchwomen, we need to guard our hearts. You know, in book of Proverbs chapter 4 verse 23, above all else guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. Elijah was called to minister to people who materially they are far better than himself. He had the word of God. Elijah has the word of God that those three, they don't have it. But they have material things more than what he had. And he was called to minister that still the Lord will provide for them. He guarded his heart well against anger and against jealousy, and ministered to them in accordance to God's will and decision. You know, the Lord may call you to minister to people who are materially far better from you, and they have resources that more than of what you have. You might be poor, you are squeezed, you are not well provided, and you might be longing for certain things, and God call you to minister to people who are doing wrong, and God had given them the thing that you are longing for. how you need to guard your heart as Elijah did, and he was protected from worldliness, envy, and jealousy. Sometime you might be enticed. You are called to invite people to come to God, and you are enticed how they are living a lavish life, an easy life, and you get enticed with the prosperity of the wicked. God called you to be a faithful watchman, be discerning, rebuke them with God's word, and minister to them with the grace of God, and declare to them God's will and His decision, His provision, His protection, and His good plan for them, for their lives, and for that particular situation that they are passing through. You know, we must understand that God is righteous in all His dealing. He will not allow the wicked to prosper or to prevail. You know, He may allow that, and for a short time, He may allow them to get relief for a short time, but finally He will see that His word will come through in their life, and that the wicked will get punished for their wicked ways if they refuse to repent. In the book of Jeremiah chapter 1, and let's read verse 12. The word of the Lord came to me. What do you see, Jeremiah? I see the branch of an almond tree. I replied, the Lord, say to me, you have seen correctly, for I am watching to see that my word is fulfilled. The word of the Lord came to me again, that's in verse 13. What do you see? I see a boiling pot tilting away from the north. I answered, the Lord, say to me, from the north disaster will be poured out on all who live in the land. So here the Lord asks Jeremiah what you see, and Jeremiah saw also correctly, and the Lord finally say that I am watching for my word to be fulfilled. The watchman, and we as watchmen, we should see and can see correctly what God is showing and doing. The Lord will not miss to punish the wicked if they persist in their wickedness, and we should not miss that the Lord one day will be going to punish the wicked people. In Psalm chapter 91 verse 8, He say, you will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. God gave us spiritual eyes to see that the wicked one day will get punished. So when He called us to minister with His grace, giving another chance, we should understand that the Lord is giving them another chance to repent before His judgment. As watchmen, as watchwomen, we should be able to see clearly that God, what He is doing or what He had done. Certain time when you look to the heavens and what is going in the world, you can find calamities, and these could be God's judgment on the wicked people. In Psalm 46 verse 8, say, come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations He has brought on the earth. Come in and see. I pray that the message, you know, will help you to minister with the right attitude, with the right way. Paul charged also Timothy with the same wisdom of the Lord. We read 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 1 to 5. He say, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Praise the Lord, be instead in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. Just imagine Elisha in front of three kings. He's a servant only. He has the word of God. The three kings have everything. Maybe more than what he has. But he has the word of God. He is the minister of the Lord. And he went ahead with the plan of God to minister to the three kings. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teacher having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. It's a very painful time. Even this time the people are not much interested in the truth, but in lies, in worldliness, in wicked ways, in compromises. But still the Lord wants us to stand firm, keeping our heart clean, big heart, and also guarding our heart from anger, jealousy, envy, worldliness, so that we can minister and our ministry tune with God's grace and God's plan for the people that he is sending us to them, and he is sending them to us. In verse 5, he say, but watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. The word watch, be a watchman. But watch thou in all things, see what God wants you to speak, see what God's plan for those people that he is sending. Tell him, don't go with your own understanding that wicked people should be punished. Yes, they will be punished, but not on your timing, not on your way, but God's timings and God's way. And bearing in your mind that God's patience bring repentance. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, suffering for Christ. Even people, they might be prosperous while they are doing wicked things, but endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Continue preach. Continue declare to the people that the Lord had a good plan for them. Let the grace of God that the Lord is sending to you, and as you encourage the people, the grace of God will bring the people to full repentance, as they will see and taste the goodness of the Lord. I pray that this message will take you to a higher level in the way of doing your ministry and service unto the Lord as a faithful and effective watchman and watchwoman for our God. Lord, thank you for your word that brings clarity and understanding. Come to the Lord. Repent of your sin, anger, jealousy, worldliness. Lord, thank you. Tell him, Lord, thank you for giving me your word, and thank you for calling me to minister to people who are far away from you. Lord, I thank you because you consider me faithful and appointed me for service. You ask the Lord, Lord, give me patience and a clear mind to be able to remain stable in front of all temptation. And Lord, help me to guard my heart well so I can continually minister in a successful way to the people that you are sending to me. Lord, I do pray for my brothers and my sisters who hear your word and commit their lives and ministry into your hand. You help them. Take away spirit of anger, jealousy, worldliness from their life. I rebuke it right now in the name of Jesus. I pray that they will be able to endure hardship. Lord, we cry out to you, Lord. Help us to endure hardship. Help us to minister with your grace to men who are very sinful and far away from you, God. Lord, give us that grace. Tell him, Lord, give me that grace to be like Elijah, tuned by you, O Lord, to minister to people who are far away from you. O God, let the purpose of this message shall be accomplished and reap the fruit that you desire to see in the life of your church and your people. O Lord, bless us. Enlarge our territory, O God. Let your hand be with us and keep us, Lord, from harm so that we will not feel pain. May the grace of the Lord Jesus and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. In Jesus' name, Amen and Amen.